said, Sybil Mitchell is one of our members, and for the last couple of years, is that how long she's been gone, rest home a couple of years? For the last couple of years, Sybil has been in a rest home. She was up at Clovis in a place called Wheat Fields, I believe. Nice place. But then after the first of this year, she went over to live with her son, Mike, and he lives in Farwell over there. And she's been there for a while, but she's 91, and she's about to go. She's about to go. But Sybil loved the Lord, and she loved to hear preaching. She loved the hymns. She loved to sing the hymns, and she came to church with Damaris here, her daughter-in-law, as long as she could. And so she's been a blessing to us. And you pray for her comfort, and her family, things like that. She's a blessing. Another thing I wanted to emphasize, my wife is sitting over here. In just a few days, we're going to have our anniversary, 54 years. Amen. 54 years. I tell you, God has been good to me. Now, see, the reason she looks so much younger than me, because she's just a kid when I married her. She was just a kid. I was grown, but she was just a kid. She said she just stopped playing with dolls when we got married. But September the 4th, y'all don't have to do anything. You gave us a deal for our 50th wedding anniversary. It's hard to imagine. That was 4 years ago. So it'll be 54 years real soon. My wife said that she never imagined that when we got this old. I don't feel old, but she said that she thought she would be sitting in her rocking chair by now and doing knitting and things like that. And she never has time. She never has time. Man, what a busy year it's been. Of course, I've got a farm out there, and I try to do some stuff on it too, you know. And I've got cows and things like that. And so, and then the church. And so, anyway, I'm praying that God will bring his will to pass in this church, and I'm sure that he will. Another thing for you folks that are new, doesn't matter, new or old, even though we preach the Bible sometimes verse by verse, it may not be a salvation message. It may not just be about being saved. Saved. That means your sins are forgiven and you can go to heaven whenever you die. And God wants you to come there. God wants you to come and live with him forever. He does not want you to perish. He does not want you to go to hell. There's a heaven and there's a hell. But God sent his only begotten son. I love it when the men come up here and pray or somebody stands up to pray. They say, God, thank you for sending your only begotten son into this world. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here, is to tell people, to preach the Holy Bible, to make people aware of what God has done for them. You get saved and it just takes you that long to get saved. But it takes you the rest of your life to learn what God has done for you and to learn all the things that are in the Bible. So if you're here this morning and you don't know if you're saved, you don't know if you're going to heaven when you die, God wants you to know that. Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13, these things have I written. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants you to know that you're saved, to know that you have eternal life. He wants you to enjoy your eternal life. Eternal life is in a person, Jesus Christ. Has nothing to do with somebody's church, has nothing to do with water baptism, sacraments, all that kind of nonsense. Just throw all that stuff away. It has to do with a person, Jesus Christ. And if you believe the gospel that Christ died for your sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried and raised from the dead, if you believe that and you will accept him, receive him as your Savior, then you have eternal life. It's the free gift of God. Amen. So in your Bibles, we're going to be in, I'm going to take a verse of scripture from Ephesians chapter number 6. Then I want you to look up some scriptures. Now, folks, we are a Bible-believing church here. And I try to teach you as much of the Bible as I possibly can. But I want you to look up verses with me this morning, if you possibly can at all. And I want you to look at them with your eyes so that you can see them. And so Ephesians chapter number 6, I'm going to read verse number 10 down through verse number 18. I'm taking a little portion of a scripture there from verse number 14 where it says, your loins girt about with truth. Your loins girt about with truth. I want to talk to you about truth this morning. So look in verse number 10. We'll begin reading there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We talked about that last week. Be strong in the Lord. Verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's talking about a soldier here, a Roman soldier, and he's going to talk about the armor of God for a Christian, spiritual armor. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And last week I talked to you about one word, and that was to stand. You are to stand as a Christian. We are here to stand. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now you'll notice the word stand, withstand, is found about four times there. In verse number 11, verse number 13, verse number 14, and then verse number 13 has the word withstand also in it. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's what we want to talk about this morning, about your loins girt about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, part of your armor, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to stand against the wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all things. We'll stop reading there. But verse number 14 says that we are to have our loins girt about with truth. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I'm going to pray, and then I have a few more verses of scripture for you to look up. So you pray with me and for me. Father in heaven, we pray that you'd help us this morning to be a blessing to one another. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would be our teacher and to capture the hearts and minds and the attention of every person. And I pray the Spirit of God would help me, please, to preach this message. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Joe, I've got this on. I hope it's, I guess we're doing okay so far. Turn your Bibles, please, back to the left to the book of John, chapter number 14. John chapter number 14, and we'll look at verse number 6. John chapter 14 and verse number 6. I could quote this for you, and you may know it yourself. You may have it memorized. John 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now that's what we're talking about this morning, the truth. Jesus Christ himself said that he is the truth. All right, again, on over to the right just a little bit to chapter 17 and verse number 17. John 17, 17. Here Jesus again says in John 17, 17, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He's talking about the written word of God there. He said it's the truth. And I want one more in the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 11. Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 11. Jesus, the Lord said, and talking about John here, John is speaking, and he said, verse number 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And it goes on there. But I wanted you to see that, and hopefully I'll have time to get around to talking about Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 11. Amen? All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about truth this morning. Your loins girt about with truth. These verses in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 14, they talk about a Christian's armor and what he needs to do, what he needs to have to win in the Christian life. He says there, first off, in verse number 10, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We talked about that last week, about being strong in the Lord. And he said that we are to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil, I told you this, the wiles of the devil are the plans that the devil has for you. The fact that he plans to destroy you if he possibly can, and we are supposed to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because there is a spiritual battle, the Bible says. And there in verse number 12 it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers." It is not a physical battle, but it is a spiritual battle. The demons of hell, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." So it's a spiritual battle, and we're to keep a right heart and a right spirit towards God and towards others. A spiritual battle is going on. I heard one of the Democrat presidential candidates campaigning the other day, and it was Elizabeth Warren. And she was in a Bible Belt state, I think is what the deal was there. And so she thought she would throw out something about her faith. And she said that the Lord expects us to act. She's talking about her faith there. And I was wondering about her faith and why her faith allowed her to kill babies and to vigorously campaign for the killing of innocent life. And these people teach they vigorously tell us that they believe that a woman has a right to do what she wants to with her own body. Is that the truth? Does not the Bible say in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, it says, "For you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, which are God's." Amen. God owns that. If a person is a Christian, if they're saved, then God has bought them with his own blood. He has purchased them. And so I was wondering why somebody's faith would allow them to take innocent life in the womb. Now, some people say, well, that's not really a baby. That's not really a baby. People have to tell themselves that. But a lot of times people do not accept truth, and if people don't accept truth, there's plenty of lies. But that thing in the womb, that is a baby. That is a baby. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah chapter number 1. Jeremiah chapter number 1 and verse number 5. Jeremiah chapter number 1 and verse number 5. And here's what the Bible says about Jeremiah. Here's God talking to Jeremiah, and he said this. He says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." You'll notice there in that verse that God said to Jeremiah, number one, that he formed him in the belly. He formed him in the womb. And number two, while he was in the womb, God said, "I know you." He said he knew him while he was still in the belly. Amen. And the third thing that he says there is this. He says that before he came out of the womb, while he was still in the womb, then he says that I sanctified thee. He set him apart for a certain job. And he said, "I ordained thee a prophet to the nation." That right there is while Jeremiah was still in the womb, before he ever came out. And God knew his name, and God knew you before you were ever born, before you ever came out of the womb. But these people, they vigorously state that they have a right to do what they're doing, and they kill innocent babies. And, I don't know about you. This is just my opinion. This is just my opinion, but you can do whatever you want. You can believe whatever you want. You can vote for whoever you want to. But I can't think of anything any scarier than having some of these people as president of the United States. Amen. If you think Trump's bad, man, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of them there that can be a whole lot worse. And so You know, people try to change the truth. You're in Jeremiah, turn way back over to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 25. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 25. Who changed, here's Paul speaking, he said, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. You see, there are folks who are busy trying to change the truth of God into a lie. And they want people to believe something other than the truth. And so I'm talking to you this morning about truth. The Bible says having your loins girt about with truth. Your loins is your midsection. Having your loins girt about with truth, you put on truth so that you can work and so that you can serve. Truth. Amen. Let me tell you some more things about truth. Truth has a source. Truth has a source. It originates from the one who is the truth. Jesus said a while ago, I gave you John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Truth comes from God. Truth comes from God. Truth is not just made up. Truth is not just plucked out of the air. Truth is not voted on at religious conferences. Truth comes from God. It comes from the one who has recorded truth for us in written form and who lived it out perfectly, which would be the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. So that's where truth comes from. You cannot make up truth. In our society, as our society rejects more and more truth, then there will be more and more chaos. There will be more evil. There will be more lies. There will be more murder. Turn in your Bibles back from Romans to over to John chapter number 8. I showed you this Wednesday night. I'll show it to you again. John chapter number 8 and verse number 39. John chapter 8 and verse number 39. Here's Jesus speaking, talking to the Pharisees. John chapter number 8 and verse number 39. It says, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto him, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Verse number 43 says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, that would be the devil, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Jesus Christ is the truth, and he spoke the truth. But as our society rejects more and more truth, there will be more and more evil in this world. There will be more murder. There will be more lies. So just get ready for it. There will be more adultery. There will be more fornication. There will be more stealing. There will be more breaking of the Ten Commandments. All ten of them, you see. Notice that the Bible says here that the devil was void of truth. In verse number 44, there was no truth in him. And so therefore, when a person is void of truth, whenever they reject the truth, the devil will give them lies to believe. The Bible tells us that we are to be sober. We are not to be under the influence. We're not to be under the influence of this world. But people's minds are messed up. People's minds are messed up and they are void of truth. They have no truth in them, in their hearts, in their minds, and the less truth that they have inside of them, the more evil is going to come out, and the devil has room to work in their life. I'll give you another illustration. You would think that the Supreme Court of the United States would be interested in truth. That's, after all, they're the highest court in our land, the Supreme Court of the United States. But no, they are not interested in truth. They throw the Bible out the window, and they rule according to public opinion. Or they rule according to their own opinions. They are not interested in truth or in absolute truth. Maybe they do not even believe in absolute truth, you see. And so therefore they rule according to their own opinions. Two or three years ago, the Supreme Court of the United States voted totally opposite to what the Bible says about marriage. They said two men can be married. They said two women can be married. The Bible says nothing about that. The truth is that God ordained marriage between a man and a woman. But the lie is that anybody can get married. See, you change the truth into a lie. So that's what's going on in our country. A lot of times people are not interested in truth. I'm going over here to the book of John to chapter number 18. Here's a man who's not interested in truth. John chapter number 18 and verse number 33. Here's Jesus talking to a man by the name of Nicodemus. It said in John chapter number 18 and verse number 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not of this world. And verse number 37 is what I want you to notice. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault in him. So here's a man who was not interested in the truth. Jesus Christ standing before Pilate there. Pilate died a mysterious death about 3 years later after he did those things. So you see, a lot of folks are not interested in truth, but truth comes from God, and we can have the truth here. We hold the truth in our hands. If you've got a Bible, we have the truth. There's two kinds of truth. There's written truth that's found right here in the book. But then we have the truth in person. That is Jesus Christ. When he said in John 14 and verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He lived out the truth. He lived out the truth perfectly during his life. He is the truth in person. But he left us truth, absolute truth, in written form here. And we are supposed to live by this. But you see, people change the truth. They don't like what they read. And so therefore they change it and they rule or they live according to their own opinions and according to their own desires, you see, and that causes trouble. That causes trouble. The devil can come in and cause trouble in their life. So let me give you three things that truth will do for you. Truth. Number one, the truth of the gospel will save you. You have to look up a couple of scriptures with me here. Go over to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 13. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 13. So the truth of the gospel will save you. In Ephesians chapter number 1 it says, and verse number 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now it says right here that the gospel of your salvation is the word of truth. So the truth of the gospel will save you. Notice the Bible says there in verse number 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. Somebody came to my house in June of 1970 and told me the gospel. They gave me the truth. I heard the word of truth. I knew a little bit about it, but somebody had the courage enough to come and confront me in my face. A man by the name of T.H. Mayfield, Brother Mayfield, came and sat down in my house or told me about the gave me the gospel and told me about Jesus Christ there in June of 1970, and I got saved. I got saved by hearing the gospel, by believing the gospel, and by accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior. I did not work for it. I did not earn it. I did not deserve it. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to be in hell this very day, not tomorrow, but right now, this very minute. That's what I deserved because I'm a great sinner. But the Bible says God loves sinners, and he came and sent his only begotten Son into this world, and he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He suffered in my place. He suffered the death that I deserve to die. And there by the grace of God, see, Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I got saved, and I never did get over being saved. That's been 49 years ago. And I never got over being saved. I went home lived in Lubbock, Texas. I lived at 3006 30th Street in Lubbock, Texas. And I went home for the first time in my life. I took a Bible home with me. We went back to Portales to see my folks sometime after that. For the first time in my life, I carried a Bible back. And I sat down and I talked with my dad. I didn't know what I was talking about. I mean, I knew that I was saved. And I gave him some scriptures there, actually. And I'd only been saved a few weeks. But I told my dad, I said, you know, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. See, my dad was I grew up in a primitive Baptist home. And if you know anything about primitive Baptists, they're what is called hard shell Baptists. And they've gone to seed on predestination. You know, what will be, and Jesus Christ only died for the elect. And if you're going to be saved, you're going to be saved, and there's nothing you can do about it. You don't have to believe, or you will believe if you're one of the elect. That's the kind of home that I grew up in. But when I got saved, I knew that that was not true. I instinctively knew that that was not true. But I walked in the house with an old Bible, and I talked to my dad, and I said, Dad, I said, we were sitting in the living room there, and I said, you know, Dad, I said, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And my dad, he got under conviction. He didn't pray then, but I've always thought that my dad probably got saved right then. My dad died a few years ago. I'm going to see my dad in heaven. I'm looking forward to seeing my dad. I'm looking forward to seeing my mother. I'm looking forward to seeing brother Ted Bailey. I'm looking forward to seeing a good friend I have in Dallas, Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, actually, Jim Claunch. I'm looking forward to seeing all these people. I've performed quite a few funerals, and I'm looking forward to seeing a bunch of those. I performed a funeral one time. If I may have told you all, I can't remember, but performing a funeral was my worst, what would you call it? The worst mistake I ever made in my life was at a funeral one time. Some people came and asked me to perform a funeral one time in Spearman, Texas. And I barely knew the guy. I had talked to him maybe one time. And it was in the wintertime. And we had the funeral outside. It was just a graveside service. And there were some people up there around the casket. And I was standing back, you know, like about from here to the second pew there, away from them, and the wind was blowing and it was howling. A little bit of snow blowing is blowing towards me, and my wife was standing with the family over there. And I was preaching to them a little bit, and I was telling them, I was pointing to the casket here to where the body was, and I said, this is not Leonard. I said, his name is Leonard. I said, this is not Leonard. This is just his body. This is just where he lived. And I kept on talking about that, about this is not Leonard. This is just where he lived. I was trying to comfort them, you know, telling them that Leonard was gone. And I kept on and on, and my wife was over there trying to get my attention. I never did see her. You know, I never did see her. I just kept on and on. And after it was over, my wife came down and said, his name is not Leonard. It's Vernon. So here I was telling them, this is not Leonard, and it certainly was not Leonard. It was somebody else. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. And everybody's walking off. What can you do? Man, if you mess up like that, boy, everybody sees you. There ain't nothing you can do about it except, you know, just, that's it. It did just happen. That's the worst, I guess the right word would be the most embarrassing. The truth of the gospel will save you. I love the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Folks, look up here. You cannot work for your salvation. It's free. You get it from God. You can't work it up. He gives it to you as a free gift if you will just put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you got enough faith to call out to Jesus, say, Lord, I believe that Jesus died for me, Lord Jesus, and I receive you as my Savior. The truth of the gospel will save you. Number two, the truth will cleanse you. Turn where you're in Ephesians. Turn over to 1 John chapter number 1. The truth will cleanse you. 1 John chapter number 1, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 6, I believe it is. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 6. I'm going to back up. Verse number 4. 1 John 1, 4, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, look, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, here's the truth right here. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now see, that's the truth right there. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But here's the truth in verse number 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. The truth will cleanse you. We do not have to walk in darkness. Now you'll notice here in these verses, it is not talking about a person's salvation. It's talking about his walk. You get saved, that's one thing, but the way you walk in this life, that's another thing. That's another thing. So we are to confess our sins, and here's just one point. If I can get this one thing across to you, look up here. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 51 and verse number 6, I believe it is, David, when he committed his terrible sin with Bathsheba, when he's talking to God, he said that God desires truth in the inward parts. When you come to God, then you be honest with God. You tell God the truth. Don't just say, God, forgive me of all my sins. No. You tell him the truth. You say, I did this and I did that. You name your sins, because God already knows what it is anyway. But the truth will cleanse you, and God, there is not one sin on this earth that God cannot cleanse you from. That his blood will cleanse you from every sin. No matter what it is, you may think, oh, it's awful. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, God, I don't want to tell you about it. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from that sin. Number three, what the blood does for you. I said, number one, the truth of the gospel will save you. Number two, the truth will cleanse you. And number three, the truth will sanctify you. It will set you apart. Look in your Bible back over here to John chapter 17 and verse number 17. Jesus speaking to his disciples. He's talking to his Father. He's been praying. He said in John 17 and verse number 17, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctify them. The word sanctify means to set apart. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, the written word of God. It will set you apart. Now listen carefully. Believing the gospel and accepting Jesus Christ will save your soul, but the word of God will set you apart. It will sanctify you if you believe it, depending upon how much people yield to to God. I'm talking about reading the Bible, believing the Bible, listening to preaching, hear preaching and teaching and all that. It teaches us how to behave as a Christian. You must actually believe and practice it and not just put up with it. You know, not just put up with it. A lot of people come to church and they say, well, I'm going to put up with this as long as I can here, you know. You must believe it and practice it. Give you an example. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs 20 and verse number 1? Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If you put that into practice, it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. See, you got to put the Bible into practice. It'll set you apart. If you believe the Bible, it'll change you. It'll make you sometimes a little bit strange. Do what it says. Do what it does not say. And all that kind of stuff, see. So the Bible tells us that we're to be saved, we're to be clean, and we're to be sanctified. Be sanctified. I got one last verse for you to look up. Look in your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8. Revelation 21:8 says this, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, all this stuff is going on in our land today. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, folks, all of these things can be forgiven a person if they will turn, if they'll turn to Jesus Christ. But if you die as a murderer, as a thief, as a liar, all of these kinds of things, then that's where they go. Unrepentant. Lost, unsaved there. But God doesn't want that for you. Amen? Let's bow our heads, please, for just a moment.